We got a ways to go, so you got to understand there's a lot to take in, because boy, today people just give little sermonettes and talk about these things, but I want you to understand that we got a lot of scriptures here, a lot of things that was given to Israel, and that was given to Israel for a purpose. They were given for a purpose, every single one of them. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me." So we have to go in those scriptures and look, at because they're all pointing to him. And what I have to show you today, I hope you'll, I know when we get to it, you'll have to look over my drawing, won't be too good, but I hope you can understand what I'm talking about, because we're gonna go in and look at the tabernacle of Moses. I'm not going to go into the tabernacle of Solomon just yet, but I just want to go in and just to say some things about it, because we're talking about this judgment. We've been talking about Abraham and the Hebrew writer says he takes away the first to establish the second. But we got to see what he's taking away. And Christian people don't understand that he has already taken something away. And he's already established something else. So and this is a judgment that's already taken place. And I just want to show you something here, because people, when you start talking about those feasts, they're still waiting on the fulfillment of those feasts. And I'm telling you what, if we're still waiting on the fulfillment of those feasts, the atonement's not done. And I'm going to show you that. But see, he told Abraham, "Get thee out." You go back and read in Genesis 11 and get out. Genesis 12, get out of the country that you're at. And remember, Abraham got out and he says, "Go to a land that I'll show you." And the Lord appeared to him there, and then he built an altar. Remember, we went through that. There was no altar building until the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared, he built an altar. But the thing is, Abraham, we went through all this. I'm just refreshing a little bit. Abraham left that place and went down to Egypt. Him and Lot. And then he came back, and remember we talked about how the land couldn't bear them both. And this land won't bear two images. Never will. It's not going to bear my image and the Lord's image. It's only going to bear one image. So there has to be a separation. And any time there's a separation, it's a judgment. So often today, and I hope you'll bear with me. I just hope you'll see that so often judgment is always about sin and God mad and punishing and all those other things. And that is not it, guys. That is not it. You're not dealing with an angry God. God is not mad. God is satisfied because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me just go back and give you this verse over here, Genesis 13. Remember, he takes away the first, establishes the second. And then after the separation, after this judgment takes place, the Lord says in verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him," or after that this judgment had taken place, "lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward." And when he uses those words, northward, southward, eastward, westward, he's talking about a new creation. Lot is separated. "For the land," look at verse 15, "for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. We looked at Galatians and we see that seed is Christ. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land. Arise and walk through the land. That's what we're to do. Joshua, come into the land. Everywhere you go in this land, what are we doing? We're walking out the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of Jesus Christ. And in this land, see, Lot's gone. This land only bears one image. It only bears one image. And I can tell you, it's not an image of a Jew or a Greek. It's the image of one seed. One body, one seed, one creation. I mean, you know, 2 Corinthians tell us, behold, all things are passed away. What is that? He takes away the first. And behold, the new has come. Judgment comes in his appearing. Now, I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. To most, the cross only deals with people and their sins. To most, that's what the cross is. Just dealing with people's sin. But it never touched the sinner. See, people don't understand, and I always wonder about this, because, I mean, and Jesus would give these analogies and say, a tree can't bring forth good fruit and bad fruit. A spring can't bring forth sweet water and bitter. It just can't do it. So if the tree is bearing bad fruit, is it knocking all the fruit off the tree? Ain't going to fix it. It's the problem with the whole tree. That's why Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, he come to lay the axe to the root of that tree. So most people think, if I just stop sinning, I'll be a better person. I'll be more like Jesus. If I can just stop sinning and God give me the Holy Ghost so I can stop sinning. He says, guys, it's a nature problem. I've got to take the first away. And he did that by way of the cross. He takes that whole nature away. But see, in most people's dealing with the cross, like I said, he only deals with sin, not the sinner. And he sure hasn't touched creation. Well, that's what we're going to look at today, because he dealt with something much bigger than just the sinner. He took away the first. And everything that's included in the first, he took away. I mean, you know, Colossians tells us he has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But the thing is, until we see the Lord, we're blind to it. Most Christians are blind to it. And to be honest with you, I was blind to it until just a few years ago. Blind to it. Why? Because the Lord hadn't appeared. And until the Lord appears in this land to Abraham, Abraham don't even know he's in the land. He's just walking out. The land to him is no different than it was yesterday. To most Christians, they're in the body of Christ. They have no idea they're in the body of Christ. They're still waiting on something. And you know what, guys? The thing they're waiting on, and this is what we've really been talking about on Wednesday night, the gospel has perverted, or not the gospel, but that's not the gospel, has perverted their attention to look at something else instead of looking to the one who shall appear. They're looking for everything else. See, once you see the new, we were talking about this on Wednesday night. Once you see the new, you'll never be satisfied with the first again. And again, you guys know what I'm talking about. Once you hear and taste of the true gospel, nothing else will do. You can turn on every TV preacher in the whole world. You can listen to every CD. You can buy every book. And it just won't do. You'll be like Peter when the Lord says, where else are you going to leave me also? Where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. And once you begin to see him, you won't see yourself in the first creation, waiting to get to the second. Instead, you'll be walking out the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, searching him out. That's why, I mean, Paul didn't say, man, one of these days, Paul said, that I might know him. power of his resurrection. You know, there was some words, and I was looking this up, and here's just a phrase that I went through the scriptures yesterday. I was looking at this phrase, no more, no more, no more. Because see, once you begin to see him, then this no more will start to apply in your life. No more. Paul tells us in Ephesians, and we talked about this last week. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. No more foreigners. How many Christians can say no more? How many Christians can really say, I am no more a stranger? No more a pilgrim. But fellow citizens. Now see, until the Lord appears, you can't say that. You're blind and you're thinking, all right, he took away the first. He hasn't established the second, and I'm waiting on the second to come. Paul says, no more strangers. No more foreigners. Now look at this verse here in Galatians 4 and 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. How many Christians today is out trying to serve the Lord? I'm just reading you what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, Roger. You know. Thou art no more a servant, but a son. Why are we sons? Because the Son himself lives in us, and he is our life, and we have no other life but that Son who fills all in all. No more servant. Guys, the scripture tells us right here that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Got to get up and go to church Sunday so I can go serve the Lord. Come on. Sons. No more. I mean, that's what I'm saying. When the Lord begins to appear, you're no more a stranger, no more a foreigner, no more a servant. I love these no mores. And they're all through the scriptures. I use Esau. I can go on there and just type in no more, and it's all through there. Hebrews 8 and 12. There's a lot of these. I won't get them all. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember. A whole lot. No more. Think about that. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember. No more. All right. Now, I'm going to... And you're going to think, why am I reading these verses? What does this have to do with judgment? Because I want to show you something here. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God. Now listen, it's not saying we're going to get a high priest. It's saying right now we have a high priest that is what? Over the house of God. Now just stay with me. I know it's kind of hard to see that. Might be blocking your view right here. Having a high priest, that's a current state, over the house of God. Now let me just ask you a question here. You guys know this, but sometimes I just feel like it's necessary to say it. This building is not the house of God. This building used to be a part of the college over there. We knocked out some walls and put some chairs in here. We didn't make it the house of God. We made it a place for us to gather out here so we can run around and sing and do the things that we do. But this place is not the house of God. Know ye not, ye are the house of God. If I'd have kept reading in Ephesians, we went on and read that you are the habitation of God. So we have a high priest that's over the house of God. Now he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now notice how he wants you to draw in full assurance of faith. Now we've talked about faith, guys, and faith ain't, oh, I'm going to believe real, real hard. Faith is seeing. I heard, faith comes by hearing. I heard the voice, and then I turned to see. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with water. Does this not sound like the cross right here? Out of the side flows blood and water. We have a high priest. Keep that in mind because that's what we're talking about. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. Our in the King James is added by the translator. Hold the profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. What do you mean promised? All these scriptures were telling us about a Messiah that was coming, a high priest that was coming, life that was coming. Not just life, but eternal life. And he's faithful that promised. Works. Now see, here we go. Our carnal minds will get a hold of this. Now we got to provoke each other and go tell them that they got to love each other. Guys, I preached that message for a long time about going out and trying to love everybody. When I really got down to it, I could only love those people who were being good to me, and those who wasn't good to me, I tried as hard as I could, but all I could do at best was fake it. And give them a little smile and act like I loved them, but I knew that in me, I didn't really love them. So, guys... What was the love of God? God so loved the world that he gave. I mean, we're talking about the cross here. The love of God is a man named Jesus. So if we're provoking one another to love, what are we saying? Turn. Behold the Lamb of God. There's provoking one another to love. Because you want to know what love is, you'll never know it outside of the face of Jesus Christ. Love is a man. And that man lives in you. Love ain't me going out here and hugging everybody. Love is a man, and that man's name is Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's provoke one another to love and to good works. What good works? Father, it is finished. Turn to see him. It's all going to be summed up in this man. Uh-oh, here we go. Verse 25. Oh, yeah, I knew I'd get y'all right here. I can bring some condemnation to you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You guys ever heard that? Oh, yeah, everybody's heard that one. Every time somebody don't come to church, the preacher's got to pull that verse out and say, boy, you better go right here, because Paul says you better not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. See, guys, we're talking about judgment. We're talking about judgment. But how did we start this off? We have a high priest, right? That's where we started. So we just can't pull verses out of context and try to bring condemnations on somebody and say, all right, now you guys got to go love everybody. You better go to church. We have a high priest. Let's keep this in context. Over the house of God who we are. And it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The assembly. Let me show you something in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now remember, we have a high priest over the house of God, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look at verse 16, Colossians chapter 2. Let no man therefore judge you with meat or drink in respect of a holy day, a new moon, or of Sabbath days. Don't let anybody come in here and judge you, which are a shadow of things to come. What's he saying? All these things right here that they're trying to get you to go back into was a shadow. But the body is of Christ. Now, I want you to know, we showed this picture one time, that the body of Christ, that Christ himself cast a shadow. And that shadow is what we call the first creation. I want you to understand that shadow cast the first creation. And out of that first creation, Moses made a pattern. He made a pattern of the tabernacle. He made a pattern of the altar. He made a pattern of the veil, and made a pattern of the altar of incense and the waters and everything else. He made that. Right here, he's telling us the substance is the body himself. It's the in Christ. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. We talked about that on Wednesday, what puffs up the mind. Trying to keep the law is what puffs up the mind. Trying to keep the law. And not holding the head. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we just say that we have a great high priest? We have a great high priest over the house of God. He says the trouble here is they're not holding the head. They're not observing the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together. What is knit together? Is that not the assembly? When all the pieces and the parts are knit together, increases with the increase of God. So, not holding the head. See, it's in His face that we see our union. I mean, what did Peter say? Lively stones, fitly framed together, made us sit together. Now listen, guys, just because we show up and gather out here doesn't mean we're assembled. You can, you know, I got Ben, Zach and him there, we've been building these models. You get this little thing on the box that says some assembly required. Because when I get it, all I got is a bunch of parts. Right? I don't know if you guys ever put anything together. You will at Christmas time. You got kids, some assembly required. And it just comes in this bag of parts. So we could gather out here all day long and call ourselves an assembly, but unless we're beholding the head, we can't see our assembly. And then here's what it becomes when we don't see our head. I say, well, Tim believes different than me. So me and him ain't assembled. Right? This ain't got nothing to do with any of that. This don't have a thing to do with any. Our assembly is in Christ Jesus, not holding the head. That's why Paul, when Paul began to see the head, Paul said, you know what, guys? I thought the assembly was just to the Jews, but I'm telling you what. There ain't even no Jews here, and there ain't even no Gentile. There's no male, there's no female, there's no bond, there's no Scythian. I see our assembly, and our assembly is in Christ. So in other words, what's he saying back over here? Let's forsake not seeing the head. Because unless we see the head, we're never going to see our assembly. We're never going to see our union. And listen, guys, why is this important? You know how many churches are gathered out this morning that think they're it? How many doctrines? How much separation is in the body of Christ? I could even go so far to tell you that where I come from, and then when I left, they think that I left Christ. And we're not even brothers and sisters no more. And some will say, if you don't believe my way, we're not brothers and sisters. See, that's looking at the first, and that's trying to be assembled and never seeing our assembly in the head. Now, I'm going to show you here. And there's a reason for our assembly too. And when things are assembled together, it's for a function. I mean, you know, most of the people use this for condemnation. Better go to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's religion, guys. And listen, that's what Paul would call the Jews' religion. But here's what I want to tell you. The Jews' religion was given and sanctioned by God Almighty on the Mount of Sinai. It was. Moses goes up that mountain. Moses, what he sees in the Spirit. Moses comes back down the mountain and makes a pattern of it and puts it in the first creation. And he says, man, this here is the pattern of what I saw in the heavens. You guys know this pattern is only pointing to the substance, to what's real. I mean, he had, of course, I drew it up here, but he had the tabernacle, he had the feast, he had the curtains, he had the altars, he had the holy days, and everything was all given to Moses by pattern. But it pointed to a reality. It testified of reality, but it was not the reality. It testified of what God would do through Christ, and it was given to Moses. Let me just throw this out there at you. Do you know how long the pattern was to be? Galatians tells us, until faith came. They were kept under the law. They were kept under the pattern until faith came. Paul would tell us in Galatians 2:20, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. So I'm telling you something else here. Faith has a name too. Just like love has a name, glory has a name, holiness has a name. And all these names are brought right into that one Son. So they're kept until the substance. Remember, we were reading in Colossians, don't let nobody judge in these holy days and new moons and Sabbath days, but the body is Christ. The substance is Christ. See, religion will tell you to go out and be like Jesus. I mean, that's ignorant. You can't go out and be like Jesus. That's what the law says. And every time you try to do that, Paul would say, there's another member, a law of sin and death working in me that every time I would try to do the good, evil is present. In other words, I'm present. Because this law is testifying of another, and I'm not him. That's not it. Christ is our life, and it's Christ living through us. And in seeing him, we see our assembly. And you know, we've talked about this a lot. There was a glory in the old, but we come from the glory of the old to the glory of the new in seeing him. Let me give you this scripture here in Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Now remember, we have a great high priest, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So we have a great high priest. Now Paul is telling us right here in Ephesians that he's the head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church is the great high priest's body, right? And he's the head. So we got a marriage right here is what we got. We got a marriage between a head and a body. One body. These two should be joined together. Never be, what, two bodies? They're one flesh, head joined to body. Here's the real marriage that Paul goes on to talk about in Ephesians 5. The church, which is his body. So see, seeing him, we have a high priest. We have a high priest. Now remember back over here in Abraham, we got... Look now from where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward, to a new creation. Look now from where you are to a new creation. I brought you out of one creation into another. But we're only going to see this assembly in holding the head. In holding the head. See, now remember, he says to come in what full assurance? Because he was talking about the promises of God. And we read in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are what? Yes and amen. Every promise that God had given them in all the scriptures has found their fulfillment in Christ Jesus. And then we just read here that he's the head of the church, which is the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. What else is left? If I fill something full, what else is left? What else can I add to it? Nothing. Nothing. So what was promised back there in the old scriptures? Here they are. They got all this pattern, everything that's set there before them. And they got to them, they knew there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be peace. There's going to be joy. There's going to be unity. All these things are promised. Isn't that the same thing the church is telling them today? That one of these days there's going to be eternal life. One of these days there's going to be joy. One of these days there's going to be peace. So we sit there and we look as if we're still in a first creation, just like the Jews did. And they look over into the second. They look at the pattern and they say, one of these days, buddy. One of these days it's going to be joy and peace and righteousness and holiness. And it's going to be heaven, and it's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. It's going to be a new man. It's going to be eternal life. Jesus come that I might get life one of these days. And then we just read over those scriptures that says, he hath translated us out of the kingdom of darkness already into the kingdom of his dear son. We just read over that and say, well, I'm in the kingdom, and one day, my God, he brought you into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, if he brought you who were here, over here into this kingdom of his dear son, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherein is nothing but life and joy and peace, what is the problem then? Our blindness. We're not beholding the head. I read you. Paul said, not beholding the head. Wherein we're knit together, it increases with the increase of God. Not beholding the head. Why? Because preaching today don't point you to the head. It points you to you and says, you need to do this, Roger. You need to stop doing this, George. You need to start living right. It was never about you. All he's ever telling you is just like John the Baptist. Is that what John the Baptist said? John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. Let me read you this right here. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated until the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. See, there's promises right here in these Holy Scriptures. What was the promises concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power. How was he declared to be the Son of God with power? What God has wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead. There's the power. According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace. Who's received grace? We've already received it. When he raised his son up from the dead, my Lord, here's his grace, and we have received it to as many as received him. When you received him, you received this grace. And apostleship. Why? For obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name. And see, here we go. Our carnal minds will look at this and say, uh-oh, see, you got to go be obedient now. I heard this all my life. You got to be obedient. Never knowing what obedience was, thought it was something else, something I had to go do. But as I told you, he was obedient. Jesus was obedient. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's his obedience. I'm obedient to his obedience. What does that mean? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But see, what we got here is the law declared. And he says the law declared something. Now remember, we're talking about Abraham and a new creation. Abraham and a new creation. So, let me show you something. We started out talking about a high priest, right? So let's go look at this high priest. Everybody in this that has read the Bible knows that in the old scriptures, we got a high priest here. So we can go look at the type and the shadow of the high priest. And what we got here in Exodus 28 is, we got Moses dressing Aaron, his brother. What we have here is Moses clothing the new man. What we have here is Moses dressing the high priest. Let me say it this way. What we have here is a picture of Moses the first who was to do what? Dress the second. Moses, that's what Jesus of Nazareth did. Jesus of Nazareth. Moses here points to Christ after the flesh. After the first. And he come to do what? Dress the new man, the second. Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? Moses was the first. Jesus was the first. Why did Jesus come here? He come here to die. And to be raised up a new man. And what does the scripture say? Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, and we know him no more. I mean, how many times here does Paul say, put on the new man? Well, we're going to read about the new man right here in Exodus chapter 28, because Moses is clothing Aaron. And he says, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him. See, I love that. Aaron's going to be the head and his sons. Did I not read you no more a servant, but sons? So I'm going to dress the head and the body. I'm going to dress Aaron and his sons. That he may minister to me, the priest's office, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Glory and for beauty. I mean, how many times does it say, put on Christ, put ye on the new man. Be clothed upon with righteousness. These are they. They put on white robes. This is what's happening right here, guys. This is what's happening. And let me tell you something. We have a high priest already. We read that. And if we have a high priest, guess what? He ain't standing there naked. He's already clothed upon. So what does that mean about you? You're already clothed upon because we read in Ephesians, you're the body. Trouble is not holding the head. He said he's revealed the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The face is the head. Look at Exodus 28. I mean, he's making breastplates and ephod robes and a coat and a mitre and a girdle, holy garments. But look at verse 12. He takes these two onyx stones and puts on his shoulders. For a memorial to the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders. Now think about this. He's got these onyx stones on his shoulders, and he's got the names of Israel right here on his shoulders. And he bears them for a memorial before the Lord. He walks in this robe with these onyx stones on him. Now notice where the stones are not. The stones are not in the head. Because we're not in the hand. We're the body. And he bears the names right here on the shoulders. He walks in before the Lord for what? A memorial. A memorial. Let me just keep on reading. I hope I can bring this around. Now I want to talk a little bit in verse 15 here. Thou shalt make a breastplate of judgment with cunning work. So he's got all the names right here, right? Now he's going to make a breastplate of judgment right here. And I told you we've been talking about judgment. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twill linen, thou shalt make it. Four squares shall be doubled. Right here on his breastplate. What did it say? Four square. When I told you I'm talking about a new creation, what's part of the new creation? Is New Jerusalem part of the new creation? And let me tell you, is New Jerusalem a round city? Everybody will tell you that New Jerusalem is a city that lies four square. Here we go, guys. We're starting to see this whole thing summed up in one man. I want you to make a city right here, four square. And in that city, what's going to be there? Every one of those stones, again with those names. So when that high priest would walk in there, what would it say? It would look on there and it would say, here's the tribe of Roger. Yeah, already judged. Already judged. Right? Here's the tribe of George. Already judged. See, the time that the judgment must begin. So in this city that lies four square, it's all going to be summed up in a man. I'm going to show you here in just a minute. Thou shalt, let me start right here. Verse 29. Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel and the breastplate of judgment upon his what? A heart. I'll give him a new heart. And write my laws in his heart. Aaron shall bear the judgment right here. It's time the judgment must begin right here at the heart. When he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord. Now remember, all this is a breastplate of stones right here. What is this right here? This is the light of the city. Remember the light of the city? And there was no need for any other light. For the Lamb is the light thereof, coming right out of the heart. Thou shalt put in the breastplate. How do I know that? Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. There's the light. That's going to put right here in the breastplate, right here underneath the breastplate, light. They shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Continually, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Continually. This is God's view, right? Because God is sitting there and God is looking at the high priest. And when he looks at the high priest, what does he see? He sees all the names of Israel right here in the body. He sees all of them judged right here. And he sees the light that comes out of them. This is God's view. This is God's view of the high priest. Paul says, we have a high priest. Let us come into faith and full assurance of this high priest. Because this high priest is bearing our names, everything, right before the Lord. Continually. We're reading it right here. This is the new man. Now look at verse 36. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. So he's going to make a plate. And the plate says, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. Remember, Aaron's a new man. Aaron is our great high priest. And Aaron has a mitre on his head and a thing that says holiness to the Lord right here on his head. And he's walking right in view of God. That Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon whose forehead? His forehead. That they, who is they? All the children of Israel that are here in the breastplate, that are here upon his shoulders, that they may be accepted before the Lord. My God, so where is my acceptance? How am I accepted before the Lord? Because the one, the high priest, has got the solid gold signet upon his forehead, and he goes into heaven itself in the presence of God for us, and there is my acceptance. It was never in anything that I did or didn't do. It was never in Israel's ability. If it was in their ability, there wouldn't have been a day of atonement. But what all Israel was testifying was, it was never in your ability to be holy. Your holiness is always going to be found in this one high priest.
Amen.
So here was the thing. God gave them these feast days, right? And these feast days said, okay, we got a day of atonement. Because Israel would sit back and they would say, yeah, guys, we've sinned. We need an atonement. We need some kind of atonement because we're separated from God. So how do we make this atonement? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. In verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of the month, thou shalt be a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. We're talking about the Day of Atonement. You shall do no servile work therein. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire. I always wondered about this afflicting of your souls. What I got to do? I got to go out here and feel bad. Well, they would sit back, and this is what they would do, and they would look upon their sin, and so they would bring their lambs and without spot and without blemish before. But this particular day, they had special lambs and rams and goats and that they would bring, and the high priest would inspect them, and this was a big ceremony, and all Israel would gather out here. All Israel would gather out, the whole nation. If anybody didn't show, so let me say it this way. The whole nation is assembled. Now we've been looking at our symbol, and where's our symbol? We're assembled right here in the breastplate of judgment. We're assembled right here on the shoulders, brought into holiness. So they would see the high priest come. They would see the high priest come out in his holy garment. So they're sitting there wondering what's going to take place. Is God going to accept us or not? Isn't this not preached today? And the acceptance is put on the people that you got to start living right. You got to do this. You got to do that. God's mad. God's going to start judging you. But he said in the type of shadow, get all Israel together. Because I'm going to show them their assembly. I'm going to show them their holiness. I'm going to show them their atonement right here in this one high priest. So all Israel would gather together. All Israel would gather together. Now, remember, guys, we're talking about a new creation where old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So Aaron, and I'm going to show you this new creation here in just a second. So Aaron would come in, he would take the blood, he would make the sacrifice in front of all the people. Now you got to remember, guys, they have afflicted their souls. They're looking at that sin offering and they're saying, I deserve that. They're seeing that goat, that lamb, and that ram, they're saying, that's me, I deserve that. And as soon as he sacrifices that thing, they catch the blood in the bowls. And then Aaron begins to sprinkle the blood on the altar. Then he sprinkles the blood on the laver. Sprinkles the blood on the table, on the horns of the altar. He sprinkles the blood, and even one of the scriptures says that he was to take the blood and put it on his ears, on Aaron's ears, right? And on his thumbs. Not his toes. Is this not the cross when he put the crown of thorn on his head and the blood rolled down his ears and the blood on his hands and the blood on his feet? We're seeing a picture of our Lord right here. So Aaron would go in. And you know, you can go and read this and you can even see where they tied bells on the bottom of Aaron's high priest garment. They had bells on there because all Israel, could you imagine millions of people being quiet? Because their atonement, their acceptance before God is right here. So they're all quiet because they want to hear them bells. Because if they hear them bells, they know that he's still alive in there and God hadn't killed him. So they're all quiet. Can you imagine millions of people being quiet as he goes in with the blood of the bulls and goats to offer the sacrifice for himself and for the people also? If God is going to accept, see how serious this was? He said, if anybody didn't show up to this gathering, let him be cast out. He would walk in. Now here's what he would do, guys. Let me just show you this. He would be out here before the people. And they would be down here on the altar. And he would slay the lamb, the ram. And then they would sprinkle the blood. And then he would step up in here into the holy place. Well, when he come into the holy place, there's another altar right here called an altar of incense. So what he would do is he would put incense on that altar and blood on that altar. And he would wait till the whole thing was filled with a cloud. Are you with me on this cloud? Then what would happen? He would disappear in the cloud. Does this sound familiar? He would disappear into this cloud out of their sight to go into the presence of God. Carrying their sin. What do you mean carrying their sin? He's got the blood. He's got everything. He's got them right here. He would go in carrying those things to put them away. Because remember, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So they're all out here waiting to see what? What are they waiting for? Man, if the high priest comes back out, we're in good shape. If he don't come back out, we're up the creek. So they're all sitting there waiting for the appearing of the great high priest. Now we go back to the scriptures. We have a high priest. Yes, yes. Now let me tell you something. If the high priest did not come back out, did they have atonement? Think about this. If they don't see the high priest, they don't have any atonement, do they? Their atonement is bound up in the sin of the high priest. Now they could have sat out there and they could have said, well, I seen him go into the cloud. Great. Let's go to the house. Uh-uh. They had to wait till he came back out. When he came back out, now it's full assurance of faith. Why is it faith? Because faith is seeing him. Now I, in full assurance, have seen the high priest and I've seen my assembly. Boom, it's all right there. Now, let me show you something here. I'm gonna show you this first creation here. If I can draw this up here real quick. Because this whole creation is bound up in the high priest or in this tabernacle. Okay? Because what it would be the, you know, he said, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So the earth would be everything that's outside of the veil, and heaven would be everything inside of the veil. And I'm going to show you that this whole creation that is done away is summed up right here, because it was all type and shadow, everything, all the way back into Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1. So I got a note here. You remember, because I'm going to start down here to the bottom and go up, but I want you to look right here. Day 1. What did God say? Let there be light. And there was light. When we approach the tabernacle, the first thing that we come to is the brass altar. And on that brass altar is fire. There's light. Can you see that? God is a consuming fire. The first thing that's going to come to is day one. Let there be light. You remember day two? Let the waters be divided, the waters above from the waters beneath. Now, you guys, you can search all this out. I'm just giving you the high spot. So day two, I don't know if I'll have enough to get it up here. Day two was we got light right here with fire. And day two, we got waters above and waters beneath. We got an altar or a lever right here. And guys, on top to wash their hands in, and there was waters at the bottom to wash their feet in. You can go read this, right? Because we're looking at creation here. Remember, Moses saw this in the heavens, and he comes down and he's making a pattern. He's seeing the waters divided above and the waters beneath. So then, guys, day three, we got the herb yielding seed, and we got the fruit bearing trees, right? Day three, we come right into the tabernacle. The next piece of furniture we're going to come to is a table of showbread. And on that table of showbread, we're going to have the bread. We got all these cakes. There's 12 of them, but we got the table. I'm just writing table of showbread. And on that table is the bread, and there's a cup of wine. Isn't it amazing that the wine is made from the fruit-bearing trees? And the bread is made from the herb-yielding seed. You see this creation right here that I'm making for you? Then if you'll go to day four, what did he say on day four? Let there be lights in heaven. Plural. And let them be for a brighter light and a lesser light. Let the lights be in the heaven. Day four. What do we got? We got the candlestick. Lights in the heavens. The golden candlestick. Are you seeing how this is? You see how this first creation? And now we come to day five. And in day five, we got the birds and the fish and the insects. We got creatures that swarm. So right here we've got what? We've got an altar of incense. Can't write too good. We got an altar of incense that does what? Makes a cloud. See, this is the first creation that I'm showing you. Then we get up here to day six. What's he make on day six? The sixth day, God made man in his image and after his likeness. Day six, we got a veil that keeps him out of the holy place. Did the scriptures not say in Hebrews that when he was crucified, the veil was rent from top to bottom? Didn't the Hebrew writer not say the veil, which is his flesh? The veil, right here. Adam was made a living soul, right here, day six. His flesh. Now remember, this is the old creation right here. Then there's a veil, and then there's the seventh day that they wanted to get into. They're separated right here. What's in here? The ark with the cherubims. The seventh day God rested from all his work. Y'all see that? You know what this is, guys? This is the administration of death. That's what this whole tabernacle is. It's the administration of death. It is the old heaven and the old earth. Am I making any sense? Now remember, Jesus came to put away and to make a new creation. Right? To put away the first. To establish the second. So see, creation is all pointing right here to this. And he's making this big separation that he's taken away. So now, let me show you the new heaven. And what goes with that? The new earth. Remember, we have a great high priest, right? What's the first piece down here? This is a brass altar, right? So now we got, I'm just going to draw them this way. We got the feet of brass. Feet of brass. You read that in Revelation. When he saw the new man, when he saw the Son of Man, what did he see? I saw his feet. They were like brass. I'm just drawing. I'm not a good drawer here. It's not a very good new man, but that's a new man. Remember, across this new man's chest, what was it? A golden girdle. And a sash. I mean, just look at all these things. Remember, he's got this on. He's got the golden girdle right here. He's got the lights. Remember, this is the Urim and the Thummim. We got the lights. We got the lights. We got the city that lies four square. And remember his face, his hair, and his head were like wool. And his eyes were what?
Like fire.
Flames of fire. You remember he told Moses, he said, I'm going to light this altar right here. And when you come in to light this altar, that the fire off of this altar, the fire off of this altar is what you'll take into this place. You remember when Isaiah came in, he came in and saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel went and got an altar, a coal from off the altar. That angel come out and got a coal off of this altar and brought it right into here where Isaiah was at and put it on his lips. Because Isaiah had to have this coal, which this altar says, I'm crucified with Christ, because here's the cross. And nothing else is going to get by this thing. So he had to get this coal from off this altar. Now his eyes are lit up from what? Off this altar. this altar that says, I have put away the whole thing. This is the new heaven and the new earth summed up. This is His face. We are His body. Here's the names that He carries in there. This is the new man. This is the high priest that this one dressed up. And He says, I'm going to take away the first and establish the second. This is what I'm doing. I'm taking away the first that I may establish the second. And what does He say? Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This man was clothed all in white. Let me show you this. I mean, this was the seventh day. You know what this day is? This is the eighth day. Does that make any sense? This is the eighth day. This is the new man right here, whose body we are. Now, let me show you this. Hebrews. Now we're talking about the Day of Atonement here in Hebrews chapter 9. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. Almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there's no remission. Now remember, keep in mind the first that we're reading about over here in Moses. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. But heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. So we're talking, Moses comes up into heaven itself and sees these things, comes down here and writes about them and makes a pattern of them. Now, if you'll go back and read the scriptures, He told all Israel to come. He said, look, make your band around the mountain and don't come near it until the third day. And in the third day, I'm going to call you all up. And in the third day, there was lightnings and thunders that's going to come out and light this thing and get it all going. But what did the children of Israel do? The children of Israel said, we don't want nothing to do with that. They drew back from this judgment, Patty. They drew back from death and said, Moses, you go on. So now they're put under the burden of this thing until faith comes. And see, now, that's why you go on and read in Hebrews, it says we don't draw back anymore. We come right onto the mountain because we know it's our death. It's already been our death, and we have no life but Him. But see, the church world today, they don't want to preach judgment. They don't want to preach you have no life other than Christ. They want to preach one of these days. He said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Look, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Christ ain't entered into this place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, how is He going to appear? We have a high priest. So He's got the breastplate on. He's got the onyx stone on. And He has what? He's got the blood. Does He not have the blood? Why does He have the blood? Because right here's the cross. Right here's the cross. So He's the whole thing. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, to put away sin by what? The sacrifice of Himself. We're talking about the high priest here on the Day of Atonement. This was the type and shadow. This is the real deal, the new man. Remember, Moses was a type and shadow. Aaron was type and shadow. So we got the Jesus of Nazareth here. And we got the great high priest. And he goes into death. And he's raised him when God brought him. God raised him from the dead. And it is appointed unto men once to die. Right here. Here's that appointment met right in the cross. If I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. And after this, the judgment. What are we doing here? With this is the judgment. When He died, He caught all the blood. He caught all the blood, and He walked through here, and He put the blood everywhere. Everywhere is the judgment, all in this house, right? This man, he's got this blood. He's got this blood everywhere. So he goes in, bearing this thing, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ. I read in Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. Got the onyx stones, got the breastplate, got all Israel right here. Bearing the sins of many. Now remember what he's doing. And unto him, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second without sin.
Yes.
Unto salvation. Yes. See, guys, this is our assembly. This is the whole thing. Our great high priest is Jesus Christ. Here was type and shadow, the whole creation that he's putting away. Jesus goes in with the blood of himself, goes in with us, all right there with him, into heaven itself to appear before God. Now, you guys know this. Here is Jesus when he's raised up 3 days later, and then he stays here 40 days, and he's walking around, and he takes him out as far as Bethany. Well, what does he do out there at Bethany? My Lord and my God, he ascends up in the cloud. Our high priest is ascending up. Yeah. Now see, they're all looking at him and they get it. They say, ah, this is our high priest. This is Aaron. He's going up into the cloud. They knew this from 1,500 years. 500 brethren are gathered out there and they see the high priest go up into the cloud. Right? So now we got, they're in a transition. They don't know which it is. So now we got a church world that's already brought over here, but they're over here, and they're trying to see this cloud over here. So they're out there, and they're telling you, they're telling all the church, one of these days, Jesus is going to come back in the cloud. Listen, if it's still one of these days, Roger, we don't have our atonement. We don't have our atonement because all Israel was gathered together and they waited until the high priest, those that look for him, he shall appear. When he appeared, they could rejoice and they could say, my God, we're accepted in the beloved. Look at our high priest. He's alive. He is alive. He's alive. See how important this is to see? If you don't see him and he's alive, you're sitting there waiting. You're waiting on some glad day. You're waiting on the second return. So these guys are out there and they're looking into the clouds, and they see their great high priest go up, and they say, yeah, this is the spot. Let's look. And the angel comes and says, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing in the cloud? Look, if they were in the right spot, the angel would have said, you're exactly right, Denise. Stay right here and watch for him, because he's going to come back the same way. But they said, look, guys, you missed the whole point. He's not coming back that way. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive power from on high. And when did he make his return? His triumphant return was on the day of Pentecost, when he come into the room as a mighty rushing wind and filled all, and they began to speak in unknown tongues, and they began to speak, and Peter jumps up and says, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. Now they go on and they begin to see, my Lord and my God, our high priest has come out. Paul was saying what God has wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What we've seen in the face of Jesus Christ, he must be seen. See, he must be seen. Now, look, I had a couple of notes right here, but I'm gonna end it right here. How does God, everybody knows this, every Bible kid knows this. How did God destroy the first world? Water. Right? That was in type and shadow. And everybody knows this. Well, he flooded it once, but he said he wouldn't do it again. How's he going to destroy the world again? Fire. My Lord and my God. When Abraham come out of the land and come out of the new creation, he did what? He built an altar. He built an altar to the Lord that appeared on him. What do you think is on this altar? Everything of the first. Everything of the first creation. Jesus after the flesh is on this altar. And how does it burn up? It's burned up by fire. You see, guys, what is the fire? It's none other than the cross of Jesus Christ. It's that same fire that the three Hebrew children were brought up into them. And it says they were destroyed in that fire, but yet not even the smell of smoke on them. Now see, everything that ain't in the fire is wiped out. But in this fire, God is consuming fire. Moses began to see this fire in this bush, and Moses says, I turn aside to see this great sight. Let us turn aside to see this great sight. And I just wonder how many Christians today will turn aside to see this great sight. Because once you begin to stop and look right here, the scripture says, "To many, and unto them who look for him." See, the gospel says, brothers and sisters, stay right where you at. Set your heart on him. Set your gaze. What did he tell Abraham? Look now from the place where thou art, and I will show you the land. All Israel was gathered up, assembled together, and they're waiting to see. And the high priest goes in and he does his thing, and then he comes back out. And what are they seeing? They're seeing the land. They're seeing the new heaven. The new heaven right here in the face of Jesus Christ. And the new earth right here. New earth. Which is his what? Which is his body. Which is what? Us. People are looking for heaven. My God, heaven is found in Jesus Christ. Why are they looking? Because they're not beholding the head. Do you see how important this thing is for us to sit and behold the head? Because there's a whole creation out there. They're over here, but they're sitting here blind. They're sitting here blind. The gospel's got them looking back over here, looking at these, all these other things, looking at all of these other things instead of looking right here. Remember, he's got holiness right here on his head. Right here is our acceptance. He's got this mitre on his head, and it says, we are accepted in the beloved. This is the whole thing bound up right here. The lights. This is the city. This is New Jerusalem. The city that lies four square. This is it. This is the whole thing summed up right here in this one new man. Abraham, come out of a land. Get away from the first to a land that I'll show you. How did he divide all this? Divided the whole thing. There's the judgment of God. There it is. And you, has he translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the administration of death, into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the administration of the Spirit, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherein you're accepted into the love, where you are clothed with the new man, where you have put on Christ, where he has brought light and immortality to light. Through the gospel, immortality, dwelling in the light, a city that lies four square. Can you see all that? All summed up in one man, the church, which is his body. And he is the head. Oh, Lord, can you see that? Can you see that, guys? Just let that sink in a little bit. The time has come, the judgment. must begin at the house of God. Now, listen, I went over a little bit. Let me just show you something here, guys. Peter said, I must shortly put off this tabernacle. And I want to show you something here. Let me just show you something. You may quit on me right here. But if you do, that'll be all right. For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Do you remember? They couldn't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles fully until Solomon built his temple. They dwelt in tents, individual tents. Each family dwelt in tents, right? Little tents. And he says, we know that if our earthly house were dissolved, we have a building. Now listen, no, we're going to get a building. You go read it. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, because we put on Christ.
Yes.
For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, that we would not be unclothed, that mortality might be swallowed up with light. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the seal. That earnest of the Spirit, that's the seal of God. That's the seal right here. The high priest's head. That's the seal right there that says holiness to the Lord. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We know that while we were over here, we were all separate. I was in my tent, my own body. You was in your tent and your own body. You was in your tent and your own body. And we just halfway celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, because I was in my tent and you was in your tent. And we was groaning one day because Messiah said there'd be unity. Paul says that there might come into unity of the faith. And it was due groaning. And the whole church world today is still groaning because they see this tabernacle and they see their separation. But we can come in full assurance because there's an assembly, and we forsake not our assembly that we see right here. Now listen to this. For we walk by faith, not by sight, by faith, because I'm beholding him in the face. We are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body, from the individual bodies, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. Do you see what's taking place right here, guys? We have a house. Now, we can sit over here and we can look and say, one of these days, we'll all be together, we'll all be united. Or we can sit over here and look back and say, remember when we used to be separated? Remember when all this division? Would not Paul say, guys, is Christ divided? Is there division in the body of Christ? No, there's not. People don't have their eyes on his face. They have their eyes looking over here. And they say, man, I'm right here. Well, I'm right here. Well, I'm right here. Well, I'm right here. The whole body groaning, waiting for the very thing. Now, the gospel says, I heard behind me a voice, and I turned to see. See, guys, it's like this in the old scriptures that was listening for the tinkling of the bells. I wonder how many have heard the tinkling of the bells? How many have heard the gospel? There's the tinkling of the bells. Have heard the gospel that says, turn and see. Because all Israel has turned their backs upon the great high priest and started looking around out in Israel. And all the division, instead of turning around and setting their heart on beholding him who shall appear the second, without sin, unto full salvation. Never, salvation is never realized until this man is seen. Can't be realized until this man is seen. Old creation, new creation. Listen, guys, I went too long, and I'm sorry I went too long. I had to get that out, draw that up there. This is what Abraham has taken out of the first creation, and he's brought it to the second creation. Then he says, lift up thine eyes from where they are and see this new creation. So I'll turn this thing back on.